Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment about men's clubs, which is the, I guess I'm kind of confused as to what physically is really the difference between a collapsed regime and a political regime, such as Menon was discussing, where the mean free path is small compared to the particle diameter. And if you think about what happens in these two cases, in both cases, there's a lot of evidence that correlations can build up. In both cases, it's clear why, because particles are in contact with one another enough so that, for instance, you expect the translational and rotational motion of neighboring particles to become locked. I think the only distinction is really one in terms of the energy balance of the two scenarios, is that when you're collapsed, you know, the new opportunities to dissipate energy are only going to arise when you exceed a Coulomb criterion and start to slide, or else you create new contacts that are, you know, that will result in some inelastic dissipation. Whereas in the kind of scenario that Menon was talking about, there is some, you know, I won't call it a cascade because it only involves two scales. You're basically dumping energy from the macroscopic flow scale directly into a kind of pseudothermal motions of particles inside those cages. But aside from that, a lot of the features of these two kinds of flows are going to be very similar, despite the fact that, you could say, well, this is collisional, so it's not the same as a collapsed flow.
Right.
Well, that wasn't that. Well, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, this is in one of the intellectual products of this program, Denise and I tried to do this. And the curious conclusion was that when we did this for our favorite shoe flow problem, and the curious conclusion was that there were some quantitative differences between the results that you would achieve assuming a collapsed flow or assuming a collisional flow. However, qualitatively, the scenarios were quite similar, for exactly the same reasons that Menon was discussing. You build up correlations in the same way. Correlation lengths are about the same. You know, everything else follows the existing correlation. I would say the distinction between collapsed and collisional is whether the duration of collisions is long, presuming that you're in this regime where particles are in one another's neighborhood for a long time, a slow, secure flow regime. It's whether the duration of the bullet range is long or short compared with the ballistic intervals in between collisions. And that's going to be determined not strictly by the macroscopic conditions of flow, but also by particle properties such as Young's modulus, viscoelastic or substitutional damping. Why? I mean, if it influences the regime of the flow, meaning you could have two rivers. What I was saying about the tube flow was that you have two different kinds of regimes to the tube flow that are different only by the appearance of factors here or there. But whose overall scaling behavior is quite similar. And, depending on whether or not you fix the rigidity of the particle so you're in a collisional or flat regime, you see one or the other regime. But no time scale associated with Young's modulus ever appears explicitly in any of the scaling relationships. It's just a switch that tells you whether you've got a factor of two or not.
So when you actually run into a certain simulation, what was your distribution of say actual contact time compared to was there appreciable accumulation of
I think actually the simulations were in kind of an intermediate regime, because although the coordination numbers, particularly at the lower inclination angle, tend to be rather high, above 3, if you actually look at the contact lifetimes, most of the contacts had relatively short lifetimes compared to the peer times. So it was a flow that had combined certain features of a collapse and collisional flow.
You actually had a strong feedback around the collision time.
Right. Yeah, there were a few contacts that were quite long lived, but the bulk of the contacts were relatively short.
And if you look at the subset of particles that had long contact time, did that have any fixed probability?
Yeah. It didn't.
Earlier on, we're talking about the implications of some probability in the book. And whether that issue is ever resolved, there is a question of not getting an ultimate answer from this truth. But I mean, if you think about the dimension trend, where you see a fourth velocity correlation, does that actually clear the difference in time of flow? But I mean, one might expect that you would be doing something on the two-fold.
We talked about that.
trying to become real.
In the core region, remember the correlation, if you have H much greater than H star, so that you have a fully developed core region, the expectation is that the correlation might actually be significantly smaller than the size of the core region. It means that if you did put a plate on, and provided you didn't do a constant volume, but it was just a weight, then it would just be like cutting off the system. So you would create a new boundary layer in the vicinity of that plate, in which the correlations were screwed up. And then once you got a certain distance away from that plate, you would recover the core with the core scale. The people who would have done this with him are sitting at the back being, maybe it was James who did it with him. Maybe that's it. As Kumaran has remarked yesterday, to say kinetic theory can do this or kinetic theory can't do this, it's meaningless. There is no kinetic theory that is the noun in that sense. There are, you can put in a lot of different physics or leave out a lot of different physics when you're doing kinetic theory.
Otherwise, you've got to understand how the friction talk within the momentum as well.
Throw it in. Can I call the speakers for the second one?